I'm just going to go back a little bit into the end of last week in verse 15. Well, let's go to 14. Revelation chapter 14, verse 14. Then John says, "Then I looked and behold a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man," is Jesus, "having on his head a golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, 'Thrust your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe.' So he sat on the cloud, thrust his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped." So Jesus talked about this again. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. He talked about this. I'm not going to go back totally into it, but Matthew chapter 13. And so we just read, right, about the angel being part of the harvest, okay, on the earth. And so in Matthew chapter 13, verse 36, it says, "Then Jesus sent the multitude away into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares in the field, of the field.' And he answered and said to them, 'He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is at the end of the age, and the reapers are what? The angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age.'" Talking about what we're talking in Revelation. "The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out his kingdom, all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So the harvest is at the end of the age. And again, one day Jesus will gather his wheat, genuine believers, to himself, but the wicked, he says, will be cut down and cast into the furnace. So I guess you could say that Jesus was a fire and brimstone preacher, right? Can't get any more fire and brimstone than that. But so was John the Baptist when he came. Before Jesus in Matthew chapter 3. But I was thinking maybe that's something missing or needed more today. You know, as I see many churches, again, just speaking about God's love. And that's an awesome thing, right? God is love, right? He is a God of love. You know, but they do this because they don't want to offend anyone by speaking about the reality of hell. But that's is just as important as God's love. Now, there's an evangelist, Ray Comfort. You might be familiar with him. He's written books and done a couple movies on YouTube. You can see him. Awesome ministry, you know, these 10-minute videos where he speaks to people on the street and, you know, goes through the law, God's laws, and gets them to see the sinners that they are, because most people, I'd say 99 out of 100, if not more, think they're a good person, think they're good enough to get into the heaven. I was one of them. Maybe you are. You were at one time. Thinking, yeah, I'm pretty good. But we think that because we lower God's standards to our own. That's how that works. And so I was putting this together, and I just happened to read a review a guy made of one of Ray Comfort's books, I guess a new book. And just real quickly, this guy says, "I find his style is one that focuses on people's fears. Fears of death and what happens after we die. He says, I believe Jesus' message is a love-based one." Okay. Now, you know, that is true. It is a love-based one. And we'll read about that in a minute. But if there is one thing to fear in life, if you don't fear anything else in life, the one thing to fear in life is where we are going after we die. Hebrews chapter 9, right? Says it is appointed for men to die what? Once, and after that judgment. Whether we're going to be judged on our own volition, our own works, or we're going to be judged by the blood of Jesus that covers us. You know, fear is not always bad. Fear is our friend. Right? Fear of putting your hand in a fire is good. No? Absolutely. Fear of walking in front of a speeding car is good. So fear can be our friend. It's not necessarily a bad thing. Proverbs chapter 9 says the fear of God is what? The beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And I, just from what I see, you know, and you know, I don't want that to be the case in my own life where, you know, I just lose that fear and reverence of God, even though I know Him as a loving Savior. You know, so I don't understand the problem that people have with talking about hell. Because it's God's word. It's not my word. It's not their word. It's God's word. It's part of the gospel. If you think about it, gospel means what? Good news. What's the good news? That we can be saved. From what? Hell. I mean, that's the gospel. Hell is in the gospel. So, the thing is, if you got too much fire and brimstone, that's not the best thing, right? Beating people down every Sunday. And neither is just talking about God's love all the time and not His judgment. And who was the best evangelist? It wasn't Billy Graham. It wasn't Greg Laurie. It wasn't some of these other old timers. It was the Lord. So let's look how He did it. So let's, Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Jesus is going to talk about fear. Matthew 10, chapter 10, verse 28. And He says, "And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body," where?
In hell.
Amen? Oh, yeah. So fear is good. Now, so that's the fire and brimstone part, right?
So now let's turn
to John chapter 3. And we know these scriptures. John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." So there's the love part. It's both. And so that's the thing I just like about Ray Comfort, because he gives the people the understanding of fearing God, because it's been lost. Even in churches, it's been lost. It's all about, you know, good times and you know, and we all need uplifting messages, right? You know, and there's those times, but sometimes we need a little Holy Spirit fire underneath us. You know, we can, if we're not careful, we can waft a little bit. That word waft, I don't know, but sounds like it. No, but, you know, we can drift a little bit sometimes. So, I like how he does that. He lets the people see how they really are when they stand before God. And, you know, and then after he sees he gets the people to understand where they stand before God as far as their sin, then he brings in the loving part. Because if you give people the loving part first, they don't even know why they're saved. They don't know why they're saved. So, go back to Revelation chapter 7, 14. And we pick up our study today in verse 17. Then another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, who had power over fire. And he cried out with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And so the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. So just as Jesus said in Matthew, the angels were involved in this harvesting. But here the scene changes and we go from a field of wheat to a vineyard. And the wicked are compared to a vineyard of grapes that are ripe to the max and they're ready to be harvested. You know, that's... Now, in our studies, we've already seen some of the judgments to come. And really, there's so much more to come in Revelation. But we've also talked about how we see wickedness and lawlessness increasing in our society. In the United States, anyway. It's astounding. It's astounding. You know, sometimes I don't like to watch the news because of all this stuff going on. But then what? Then you really don't see what's going on. You know, but speaking of the end times, we're going to go back to Matthew chapter 24 and Jesus' words again. Matthew 24, verse 6. And Jesus says, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, the kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. He's obviously talking about, you know, the end times, but we are in the end times. The apostles said they were in the end times, so we are in the end times. Maybe not the end of days, we don't know, but some of these things have been happening already. But many people don't see it and say, ah, these things have been happening for the longest time. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about it. It'll pass or whatever. People have always been killing people. All kinds of stuff. But with these things, this is what, with people saying those kinds of things, that's exactly what Jesus said was going on in Noah's day. That's what he said was going on in Noah's day. And that's important. You know, because the Bible shows us so much. You know, history for us, examples of people, examples of situations that apply to us today as believers. Now, before we read what Jesus said was going on, let's turn to Genesis chapter 6, first book. Genesis chapter 6. Verse 9, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And he says, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Filled. And so God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. So the wickedness and evil then was as bad as it could get. And so then we know that God went on to tell Noah to build what? An ark. An ark. Now, did Noah tell the people what God Because God told him to build the ark. Did he tell the people back then? Well, it doesn't specifically say here, but common sense would dictate that people would certainly ask Noah what on earth he was building and why. Don't you think? I mean, he's building this humongous boat. What is that? Why? Let's turn to 2 Peter. That's back towards Revelation. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, chapter 2. And Peter's talking about, you know, that in verse 4, if God did not spare the angels who sinned but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the world but saved Noah, one of eight people. And then what's it say about Noah? He was a preacher of what? Righteousness. Bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And so with all the wickedness we know that all the wickedness we know that was going on in Noah's day, Peter says he was a preacher or a herald, some of the translations, which is a public speaker of righteousness. And not only that, but let's go to the left into Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. And it says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of these things. What? Moved with what? Godly fear. There's that word fear again. Godly fear. And he prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which, you know, doing that, he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Now, what does that mean? You know, in addition to Noah's preaching, was his wordless preaching. You know what wordless preaching is? Wordless witnessing? It's our lives, our actions. Sometimes they speak louder than words, both ways, good and bad. Right? Sometimes people can see the Lord in us without us saying a word, by how we are, how we act, what we say, what we don't say. And we're not perfect, right? Hello? No. Just checking. Just checking. You know, it's not just about this. It's about this. You know, how we live. And again, we're not perfect, but we can't be contradictive. Say one thing and then live a different life. And so, you know, Noah's actions in building the ark by faith, he didn't know anything about Noah. I mean, God told him, but he did that by faith. And so every nail that Noah pounded into the wood for the ark was really a call for people to repent, because he told them, he preached to them what was going on. And he's building away, pounding away, nail after nail after nail, for years and years and years and years. An example to being obedient to God. And it was a declaration that God's judgment was coming. And so these scriptures seem to strongly point out, again, that he did preach and did warn. And so with all of that, let's finally see what Jesus said was going on in Noah's day. In Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. And it says, but as Jesus says, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. So Jesus is saying, just as the things were going on in Noah's day, when the Lord returns, the same things are going to be going on. Now we saw on, right? But Jesus says something else was going on the earth besides the wickedness. He says, for as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. And so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. So Jesus shares the fact that the people in Noah's day totally ignored his message. How do we know that? Because he and his family were the only ones on the ark. The animals came. No people. They ignored his message of God's coming judgment. They were too busy doing life to be bothered by a religious guy warning that the end of the world was coming. Does that sound familiar today? Tell people, listen, man, the end's coming. And they think you're one of these guys, you know, sign the end of the world, the end of the world. They look at you, you know. Like, same thing in Noah. And this is what Jesus is giving us an example, a clear example in Noah's day, what was going on. And that's going on exactly today. So he's warning us not to make the same mistake. And there's a quote, it's not scriptural, but it kind of says, those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Right? And that's what we're talking about here. How the earth was, God's judgment came. Did God want to do that? No. That's why he sent Noah. Did they listen? No. And they got on the ark, right? Got on the ark. I'm sure he was bummed out. How many people were going to perish? But if you look in Genesis, you know, the ark had a door. You know who closed the door? It wasn't Noah. It says God closed the door. Oh, that's like God closed the door. That was finito, done, finished. He closed the door, not Noah. So we can't close the door on people either. Whether they listen or not, he's called us to tell them. And sometimes I close the door in my mind. They'll never get saved. That's terrible. That's terrible. That's not God, is it? He does close the door. But that's for him to close the door, not me. Not me. Because there's no one who cannot be saved. Amen? Now, we're thinking of other people, but if he saved us, he can save anybody. Right? We ain't, you know. I'm only a little above you for preaching purposes. We're no better than anyone else. But it's amazing. And I have to close in a few minutes. I want to keep going. But it's amazing how all these scriptures, right, fit together like a glove. Like a glove. And that's because it's all his word. It's all his word from cover to cover. And some people have said to me, well, you do a Bible study. You really don't do a service. I'm like, okay. I no apologies. But I tell them, look in the Gospels and see literally how many times it says Jesus taught. Taught. Specifically says that. Jesus taught. I mean, you remember he went into the synagogue and he opened up the book of Isaiah and it was about him. I mean, that's mind-blowing. Imagine being there, the Lord, and he's opening up the scriptures and they're talking about him and he's teaching it. Incredible. But let's... Luke chapter 24. I want you to see something here. Luke chapter 24. And this is when Jesus, after his resurrection, he met two men who were on Emmaus Road. And they're talking about, you know, the Lord and dying and all this stuff. And it says in verse 25... You know, Jesus showed up. You know, he's talking to them. And then he said to them, verse 25, "Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken." He says, "Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory?" And then it says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he," Jesus, "expounded or explained to them in all the scriptures things concerning himself." But we read this, we forget one thing. There was no New Testament. There was no New Testament when he's talking about this. It wasn't even written. Not one word of the New Testament was written yet. And Jesus is showing that the entire Old Testament is a story of God's plan to save people from their sins through the Messiah. He took them through it. But we are so blessed to have the New Testament. You want to hone your evangelical skills? Try witnessing only from the Old Testament. It can be done. But we're so blessed here to have the New Testament. And I'm going to end with this. There's a pastor, Alistair Begg. He put it, in the Old Testament, Jesus is promised or predicted. In the Gospels, Jesus is incarnated or revealed. Right? In Acts, Jesus is preached. In the epistles, Jesus is explained. In Revelation, Jesus is expected. It's really all about him, the whole book. It may not seem like it, but it is. And it's just incredible.